They don't have a great understanding of God's kingdom and the kingdom life. You know, they don't really understand the real purpose of healing. And we're going to get into that in our next session. We're going to start with they don't have a real understanding of God's purpose for healing. And then we're going to pick back up on that in our next session. So for now, we're gonna continue this session, this lesson in the next session. Amen and amen.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree
you died to save man. The
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
2 Kings chapter 4, and we only want to lift up verse 8. We'll go into the text further, but we only want to read verse 8. Reverend Mays has read verse 8 through 23 in our devotional reading, but I want us to read just verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. When you have it, say amen. All right, let's begin reading now.
And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. There are so many titles throughout this message that can be used to elevate or to give a summation of the entirety of the text. But just keeping it simple, I just want to talk about the full faith of a mother. The full faith of a mother. Now, brothers and sisters, as we go into the text, first of all, I want you to know that the story extends from verse 8 all the way to verse 37. There are three parts that I want to break this story down into for a better understanding. We don't have time to read all 30 verses, but I do want you in your spare time, in your devotional time, to read verses 8 through verses 37. Now, listen at this, because the word talks about it fell on a day that's a phrase. You hear it in verse 8, you hear it in verse 11, you hear it in verse 18. It simply means on this day, this particular thing happened. Now, it calls a reference to a great woman. Great woman. What did it mean by great woman? One, it meant her nobility. Her nobility. She was a blessed woman. She was blessed with finances, materials, etc., etc., etc. But she was not called great just because of her accomplishments or for the things that she held in terms of her holdings. She was called great because of her faith. One of the things that you've got to look at is what God calls great has to do with faith. And man looks, you know, at the material blessings and call us great because of the things that we hold, the things that we've accomplished, the things that we may have. But God calls great those things that deal in the arena of faith. And so this woman, notice that the man of God, Elisha is his name as we pronounce it in English, but in Hebrew it's Elisha. And so whether you say Elisha or Elisha, he is the prophet that God is using in this situation. Now, he passed by the great woman's house on his way to the mountain where he had communion and consecrated fellowship with God, to hear from God, to speak a word to God. And so when he would pass by her house, she noticed that he had to trek before her house going and coming. So she invited him in to dinner with she and her husband. And every time he came, she invited him in to have dinner with him. Then the Bible gives us the understanding that she says to her husband, I perceive this is a holy man of God. She suggests that they build a chamber on the side of the wall going up to what's called an upper room. And an upper room was where guests and family stayed when they visit those who were well enough to have an upper room. You do remember it was one of the disciples that Jesus used their upper room for the Last Supper. And so it's important to recognize that she felt so inclined as to get him a place to lay down or to lie down and to lay his head. And so she put a bed, she put a table, she put a stool and a candlestick in the room so that he could rest himself after eating, coming and going. And so he was so pleased by the fact that she was able to show her appreciation and her generosity to the man of God that he called his servant Gehazi and asked Gehazi to go and ask her what could he do for her. And he said, ask her, would she like me to speak to the king for her? Or speak to the captain of the host for her. Now, it shows you the power that Elisha has, that he's able to will that to some of the greatest men in her presence. And so she says, I dwell among my own people. I don't want anything from you. I'm not asking you for anything. I just want to be a blessing to you. And so he calls Gehazi back and he says, listen, tell me what you think she needs. What do you think would be a blessing to her? Now, this is very interesting because this brings out a principle that I think many people miss. When you are truly a blessing from your heart And when you give, not so that you can receive, but you want to be a blessing, God touches the heart of the person you blessed and causes them to want to be a blessing back to you. You see, when you realize that when you give because it's in your heart to give, or because you want to be a blessing, God fixes it so that the blessings come back to you. So the Gehazi, the servant, said, listen, I noticed that she doesn't have a child. And in that day, a son was most preferable. She doesn't have a son. And her husband is old, and I don't know what the problem is, but I don't know if she's barren or just what it is, but that's her problem. He said, call her here. So she comes, and he tells her, listen, by this time next year, according to the time of life, you're going to have a son. She says, oh, nay, my Lord, don't lie to your handmaid. You know, she probably had heard enough false prophets prophesying and saying this and people telling this and all the rest of this. But what he was doing was he was taking something that was almost like a curse off of her life by giving her a child, a son in particular. And so she didn't want to ask for anything that she at this point did not believe she could have. Now, that had nothing to do with her faith. She had just reached the point where if God wants me to have it, it will be. If he doesn't, I'm well with that as well. But listen, the Bible then says that the next year that time, she was holding a baby boy. And then it skips forward to when the boy is 12 years old, and he goes out into the field, and he's out there with the reapers and his father, because it's harvest time. And scholars suggest that he had a heat stroke. And he said, my head, my head. And the father sent a lad to bring him back to who? His mother. And there he sat on his mother's lap until 12 o'clock, and then died. Now here's where it begins to get interesting. Look at what she does. When he dies on her lap, she takes her baby boy and goes upstairs to the prophet's room and lays him on the prophet's bed. And she leaves out, shut the door, go back down, tell one of the servants, tell her father, send me a young man and an ass that I might go to the prophet and come back. The father said, listen, this is unusual. It's uncommon. This is not the new moon festival, nor is it the Sabbath day. So what do you mean you're going to see the man of God? Because they knew it was off limits to them to bother the man of God when he was in consecrated fellowship with God, listening for a word from the Lord. And so they knew they could only come up either at the new moon or on the Sabbath day to hear from him. Look at her response. She says, verse 23, it shall be well. Now, first of all, two words I need you to know. It had to do with two things. One, it shall be well with her going to see the prophet. It shall be well. Now, again, that was off limits now. That was not a normal or usual practice. But she said it shall be well. Secondly, the it referred to, it shall be well with her son. It shall. Now, I need to put this in context because she does two things right here. One, she makes a decree, and then she declares. You see, the decree was the formal notice placed in the courts of heaven saying to God, speaking in the atmosphere, letting it be known that it, the situation, shall be well. And she declares it shall be well. Why does she do that? Because here she is making use of her full faith in God. Can I tell you, when you have full faith, faith has the ability to change facts. The fact is that boy was dead. But because she had full faith, her faith was able to change the outcome of that situation. I don't know where she get that kind of faith from, but here's what I do know. In the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, that was another woman who was a widow woman who the prophet had blessed, and she had blessed the prophet, and her son died, and Elijah raised him up from the dead. You see, one of the reasons why we ought to testify, one of the reasons why we ought to fellowship, one of the reasons why we ought to share the goodness of God with others is for one primary reason. The God that blessed you can bless the other person who has the same faith too. God is no respecter of persons. And maybe she heard of that woman's situation, the widow of Zarephath. And so she speaks faith, so much so that God is pleased. What does Hebrews 11:6 says? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the first thing I want you to see in the text is her faith changed her feelings and her focus. If you're jotting down notes, jot it down. Her faith changed her feelings and her focus. She's a mother. Of course she felt the pain of losing her 12-year-old son, watching him die on her knee. But when she shifted her faith from her feelings to the ability of God to do anything but fail, it changed her focus. Let me say to you, whenever anything happens in your life, you have a choice. Will I focus on my feelings or will I focus on my faith? My faith has the ability to change the facts. God is able to restore what the canker worm has eaten up. God has the ability to return what the devil has stolen. God has the ability to do what man is unable to do. So if I focus on my faith and the power of God, then I have the ability to trust God to do what I cannot do. Listen now. So her faith changed her feelings and her focus. When she made the decree, it shall be well, she continues to declare it. Now, when you move from verse 24 to verse 31, the story goes on. The young man comes, bring the ass, and she tells him, listen, I want you to ride this donkey as fast as you can, and don't slow down unless I tell you to. And so the next scene unfolds in this narrative where Elisha sees her from the mountaintop, sends his servant Gehazi to go down and ask her three questions. One, Is it well with you? Two, is it well with your husband? Three, is it well with your son, your child? And Gehazi makes his way down and he catches up with her. And he says, the man of God wants to know, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And guess what she declares? Listen, she leaves off shall and simply says, it is well. See, once she declared it shall be well, then she moved from, listen, her faith dealing with her feelings to now she speaks faith. She speaks faith. And I want to bring that out because this is important. We have, through the power of God and of Jesus Christ, to speak those things that what? Be not as though what? They were. This woman spoke those things that be. She said, it is well. And at that moment, it was not well. It was not well because her son had died. But she didn't focus on her dead son. She's focusing on her raised son. Listen. She's one of the women in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, where it says, women receive their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hebrews is talking about this great woman and the widow of Zarephath. They both received their dead raised to life again. So she spoke faith. But verse 24 to 31 shows you she seeks faith. She's now speaking and seeking what it is she has said. Now, she didn't stay there and have a pity party. She didn't sit there and moan and groan. She got up and went to the man of God, the same man that prophesied to her, the same man that promised her the gift of God. She went back to him to find out what happened. And so on her way there, she's seeking him. Somebody say, seeking him. Now, it's important for you to recognize she's seeking him because he was the one that told her what she was going to have and when she was going to have it. And she believed it, and it happened. So now, listen, Gehazi brings the report back. It is well. But she doesn't stay at the bottom of the mountain where she should have stayed because she's seeking him. She went up the mountain, and she fell before the man of God and grabbed him at his feet. Gehazi moved up on her to thrust her away from the man of God. See, because it was unlawful for you to touch the man of God when God was communing with his prophet, speaking to him, fellowshipping with him, ministering to him to minister to the people. And the prophet told his assistant, leave her alone, for she is grieved. Now listen at this now. And the Lord did not tell me about it. He did not reveal that to me. Now, I want to bring up an interesting point here, because here's what you need to know. When you have full faith, it has the power to rise above protocol. Let me give you a more modern story. You remember the woman with the issue of blood, don't you? Her faith was so great that it moved her beyond protocol. Protocol said that she had to cry out, unclean, unclean, because she had an issue of blood. She was contaminated, and she could have contaminated others if she touched them. And so she was to cry out 300 feet from anybody, unclean, so they could move out of her way and not come into close proximity with her. But faith said, she spoke, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And the Bible says she went around the press, went to the back, got down on her knees, and touched. You know the hem isn't up at the shoulders, don't you? The hem is down at the bottom. She got on her knees and touched the hem. Why? Because she spoke that faith. That's what her actions were. She sought what she spoke. She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So now she said it, so now she's seeking it. So she goes and she does it, and immediately, listen to this, the virtue left out of Jesus' body went into her body and healed her of her disease. She didn't ask permission. She wasn't next in line. Protocol was overridden because her faith pleased God. And I'm trying to tell somebody here today, my brothers and sisters, when your faith is full, nothing shall be impossible unto you if you only believe. Both of these women had great expectation that what they decreed and declared was going to happen. And because they believed it was going to happen, they began to seek it, walk in it, look for it to happen. And so she gets to the man of God. She says, didn't I ask you not to deceive me? And when she told the man of God her problems, listen at this, because I want you to see how this works. He tells his assistant, Gehazi, take my staff and go and lay it on the face of the child. Now, let me explain all of this. Because first of all, the staff that the man of God had was a rod that God had given to him that was anointed and given authority of the prophet himself. It represented the person of the prophet, the power of the prophet, and the presence of the prophet. You remember Moses and his staff? And the king's men threw down his and turned it into a snake. And Moses took his staff and threw it down, and it became a snake. And his snake did what? Ate up the other snake, and then it turned back into a staff, and he picked it back up. There was power in that staff. It was anointed, and it was authoritative. You remember Moses again took the staff and raised it and parted the Red Sea.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-9000. 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things.